What's up, everybody? Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Carlos Bonilla. This is episode 4 of The Carlos Show on JakeRadioLive.com. Tonight, we're talking about news and politics. It's the first night of the Democratic primary debates. And does anyone remember Howard Dean?
You know something? Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Yeah! Oh, my God, I love that. But that one moment of passion for him ruined his candidacy. That man never became president. But this man did.
You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
All right, all right, all right.
I mean, this is ridiculous. It's a radio show. It ain't a one-hour television spectacular.
From my cold, dead hand.
Yeah, strangely, this week, two of the most interesting stories, or the most bizarre, have to do with cocaine. In Philadelphia, off the coast of Philadelphia, a few days ago, the largest seizure in U.S. Customs history happened. 35,000 pounds of cocaine were seized off a ship off the coast of Philadelphia. It's the largest seizure in U.S. Customs history. The load that they seized had a street value of $1.1 billion. They said that if you were to line up the bricks of the seizure in a straight line, it would extend 2 miles. What I love about it too is when they do the, the press conference, they have to have some of the coke there to show you, like it's, so they have it in like this triangular display, like they're at Walmart. And yeah, I remember reading stuff online about people saying, how did they think they'd get away with this? Do you realize what the American appetite is for drugs? It's just supply and demand, people. It's just supply and demand. I'm surprised that thing wasn't full of opioids, because that's coming next. There wouldn't be a market if there weren't the desire. And in the United States of America, it is the largest drug market in the world. So stop the shit with, you know, how do they think they could get away with this? Money, folks. Money. And speaking of money, the king of cocaine from Milan, you're going to think I'm kidding, is now on the lam. He escaped from a prison in Montevideo, Uruguay on Sunday, El Chapo style. So we now have a new El Chapo, but he's Italian, and his name is Rocco Morabito. And I'm just going to give you something. According to NPR, Uruguayan officials have launched a manhunt for an Italian organized crime boss known as the Cocaine King of Milan, who escaped on Sunday from a detention center where he was awaiting extradition to Italy, the Uruguayan Ministry of the Interior said in a statement. Rocco Morabito and three other inmates made a brazen escape from the prison in Montevideo, climbing through a hole in the roof of the building. Reports from ministry officials indicated that the men eventually broke into a neighboring property, robbed the owner, and then fled. Reports in the El Observador paper said that one of the four men, a Brazilian also waiting to be extradited to his home country, actually avoided the hassle of the daring jailbreak by simply walking through a side door of the building, quote, without anyone stopping him. Rocco Morabito, who is believed to be the son of another famed mobster with the same name, was one of the 10 most wanted criminals in the world in 2017 as the leader of the Calabrian Ndrangheta. I guess it's the crime family, one of Italy's most powerful organized crime groups. And I wonder what that must have been like for the family that they robbed. Like, he got three guys come in. I hope he left them a kilo or something for their trouble. You know, he's the cocaine king of Milan. I hope he left them a brick. And he was like, grazie, grazie. Here's a kilo. You can buy a new casa. Arrivederci. Because that must have been jarring. We have a new El Chapo, and you can cook, folks. You can pair wine with fish, and you can play bocce ball. I don't know. These are the kind of stories you can't make up. So El Chapo gets caught, and he's basically, I wonder if he'll escape from the prison in New York. You know, if El Chapo escaped from the Manhattan prison, I would not be surprised. Think about what those guys make an hour. But I don't know. Everyone's bribable now. I mean, El Chapo had members of the Mexican military, the federal government, and rumor has it, members, you know, the president on his payroll. You're going to tell me if he could compromise them, he's not going to be able to pay off some guards from Brooklyn? Get out of here. Get out of here with that. So obviously the same thing happened in Uruguay where Rocco Morabito, he obviously bribed people, and there was a chain of financial payoffs that led to this result. It's going to keep happening. So, you know, I'm no federal agent. I'm not somebody who's an expert on how to render world-renowned criminals, but I guess you have to really vet who you hire to work in the prison system. That's the only way to do it. And speaking of vetting, and I've been thinking about this for a long time, and it's funny I bring this up on this night of the first night of the Democratic primary debates. We need to start vetting journalists. I hate the fact that I agree on one thing, and only one thing in some cases, that Trump and people like that say, is that a lot of the media is fake news. I wouldn't go that far that it's fake news. I was a college journalist. I was one of the editors of my college paper. I had 3 national magazine internships. I did a little writing for websites after school, after I got out of school. And I stopped many years ago. And part of the reason I stopped, because I saw this, what I call now the convoluted mess that is the media. There is no media now. It's just a big hodgepodge of shit. You know, there used to be sections. First of all, when it comes to vetting, a lot of people used to go through a process of their high school journalists, their college journalists. They get that first magazine job as a stringer or as a researcher. But going through high school journalism, college journalism, the early jobs, you get vetted. That's the word that we need to apply to the media. They get vetted, because when you go through high school journalism and college journalism, you are fact-checked. And it is, you know, it is ingrained in you that when you report the news, and I was more of a arts and entertainment features writer. I wrote for every section. But when you write the news, you do not infuse your opinion in the news. You want to give an opinion? Go write an editorial. That's fine, on whatever you want. But news is the straight reporting of facts. And nowadays, anybody with a keyboard thinks he's a journalist. Just like everyone with an iPhone or with any cell phone thinks they're a filmmaker. But when I mentioned the convoluted mess that is the media now, it used to be divided in sections. So, like I said, the news was objective reporting. You watch CNN or Fox or any, no matter what part of the side of the political aisle you're on, you watch these shows, the news is on the ticker, that straight line of text you see. Opinions are what's coming out of the speakers. So, yeah, you know, growing up, it was a lot easier with less media. Let me give you an example. It used to be divided in sections. So nowadays, you see literally, you know, Trump is thinking about bombing Iran next to, oh, look at this amazing picture of Miley Cyrus's camel toe that was taken. Or some dumb, you know, mindless feature story. You know, it's a mess. I don't know where you go. You go outside in the streets and you ask 10 to 20 people where they get their news. You're going to get 10 to 20 answers. And what I ask any of you who's listening to this is, if you are going to consume information from any news source and you see something that you question, look it up and research it. And don't just say that, you know, because a lot gets reported where it's people say, or the common public opinion says that. No, it's either true or it's not. So I wish more journalists today were vetted. Part of the reason I gave it up is because I became surrounded by people who thought that spouting off their opinions and interweaving that with facts became journalism. These people did not know how to construct an article. They didn't know anything about pacing. And it got to the point where my own articles were being edited in ways that I kind of had free range in college. They might change something grammatically or whatever. But then it got to this point where people were coming to edit a website that I was, you know, an editor at here in San Francisco. And this person had no journalistic experience and no background. They were never vetted. Because when you're vetted, you go through, you know, editors and some cases publishers where to maintain your status or your ability to even write anything for a populace, there has to be some screening body that analyzes your work and verifies that what you're saying is true. Nowadays, it's, you know, NBC News made a review on this, and then, you know, Paul on movies.org, some dude in his mom's basement is reporting on the same things that somebody who's been doing this work, who's vetted for whatever, 40 years, they report on the same shit. And that's part of the problem with today's media. You're going to see that problem emerging and rearing its really ugly head as we move into the 2020 election. And tonight, it was the first night of the Democratic primary debates. They're saving the two codgers, the two old guys for tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's Biden and Bernie Sanders. And I got to tell you this. I was reading on some website the other day. This is true. And I can't believe this is just, hey, this is America. Oh, say, can you see? In Vegas right now, there's a whole, I guess, I don't gamble, but I read that there's a whole odds thing where you can bet on the debates. How many times Joe Biden's going to say something stupid, if he's going to fondle anyone or not, or do something inappropriate with his hands. You can bet on how many times they're going to say Trump, how many times they're going to say the word impeach, how many times they're going to say climate change. You can bet on all this stuff because the debates are a fucking farce. Like I said, anybody watching this stuff tonight and making the decision on who is going to lead the free world, essentially, based on this TV time, is an idiot. I don't think anybody who's rational is going to be watching this thinking, I'm going to decide who to choose based on what they say behind this podium tonight. And it's just for ratings, and it's this thing every 4 years. Thank God I don't get a ton of shit in my mailbox every year. I guess a lot of the promotion behind candidates and propositions, you know, moved online. But every 2 years, I used to get a ton of shit in my mailbox with propositions, so-and-so's running for council member, whatever. I can't understand, you know, I get it that, you know, Obama started this trend where Obama was a senator for 2 years and he ran for president and won. Now anybody who thinks they do something just for a little bit can run for president. Now, Obama was also a brilliant man, had zero, with triple underlines, zero skeletons in his closet. Because when Obama first emerged, I was always like, oh, where's the dirt? Where's the skeleton in the closet? Nothing ever came up. Are they going to give me a shot of him with some supermodel somewhere cheating on his? Nothing. The guy was clean in terms of dirt. That's why they, you know, people like Trump try to do this whole he wasn't born in the country shit. But nowadays, someone like, you know, Pete Buttigieg, who's just a mayor for a little bit, thinks he can run the country. Can you really see that guy? Like, I'm not singling him out, but I want you to really close your eyes and picture him shaking hands with Putin at a summit. I feel like Putin would pick his teeth with him. And we have 20 candidates on the Democratic side. Really, like, is that, are they all qualified? How are we there? I haven't watched tonight's debates as of this moment, the whole thing. I haven't watched them all yet. But how do you filter out the one real person out of 20 people basically saying the same thing, that they want, you know, free education. They want some solution to climate change. They want to embolden and revitalize the economy, and they're going to rip on Trump, which I totally understand. But there's 20 of them, and I don't think the debates are going to really give a good indication of who's the best representative. That's just me. But while I'm riffing here, and you know, I tried to give you that little kind of tidbit or piece of advice, like if you're reading news, and stay informed, folks. Like, don't miss a couple days. Sometimes you have to ignore the news just to keep your sanity. I totally get that, especially nowadays. You have to look away from the news. But I'm just saying, if you're going to read something, watch something, listen to something, try to make sure that the information's vetted. Okay, please? And while you're doing that, maybe if you live in San Francisco, Oakland, or Berkeley, you can do me a favor and do something else. Because something else that's been just eating at me for the last year and a half, is this new trend that I'm supposed to understand and accept that sidewalks are pathways for what's become human zombies. We're a bunch of zombies now, okay? Between the homeless population in cities like San Francisco, Oakland, and Berkeley, which is, you know, just rising daily and weekly because of our policies here. We'll get to that in a later podcast. You have people crowding the streets who are selling drugs, loitering, sleeping on the streets. That's been going on for years. But now you have the added luxury of having scooters and skateboards, electric and regular skateboards, people riding their bikes on the sidewalk. And on top of that, and it sounds like I'm talking about worms on a straight plane, let's add some ants, you know, more scooters, more these companies that are providing these public modes of transportation. Everyone's just a mess. It gets annoying, especially when you factor in, and this is the part I know all of you hearing this are going to relate to what I'm going to say, people looking down on their phones and not looking at where they're going, who get in your way and slow down the flow of foot traffic. I realize this is in Manhattan. You know, I lived in that area for a little bit and have been there many times, and people just keep moving. But I think a big problem, in at least in San Francisco specifically, and in Oakland and Berkeley, is that you have people who think it's acceptable to look down at their phones or devices while they're walking in a procession of people. And I know you've experienced this. Anybody listening, when was the last time you got pissed off? It had to have been in the last few days when you're trying to get somewhere. And the only reason you can't go around someone is because they're walking like a human zombie, looking at their device like it's the most important thing in the world. I guarantee you 90% of what people are looking at is just bullshit entertainment. And I'm sure a lot of that's not vetted if they're reading the news, like I said before, but I get angry about this all the time because I am not going to sit here and accept that that is the way we should live as a population because of the advancements in technology. If you're walking down the street with your looking at your phone anywhere, look up, please. There's a way to do it. I do it all the time. I walk down the street and I look at my phone, but I'm not going to slow someone down. You're a greedy motherfucker if you're doing that. I'm sorry. You are too much into your own head, and you're not that important. So stop it. Please stop it. Because it is something that I think is just making us mindless as a local civilization here, and it's something that I get bothered by all the time. And these guys, let me just, you know, they're the skateboards and they're the scooters, and I get that. You know, people want to make a business, and these things kind of work to get you from point A to point B. But if you're over 40 and you're on a skateboard with one wheel and you're going down the street on a major, you know, in San Francisco on a major street in the bike lane, look the fuck up, okay? Look up. Because first of all, you look like a dork, a dweeb, but you're not cool. You are a hazard. And then these guys will get run over by a car, and then it's the guy who's driving the car gets blamed. Come on now. What are we turning into? as a population. I tried to talk to some people today in Oakland to get their opinions about the debates and the candidates and how they felt about Trump. And I get it that not everyone wants to talk into a mic. I totally understand that. But, you know, I have a few things on my recorded that I'm not going to play for you tonight. You know why? Because it fucking sucks. Because people didn't have anything to say, no original thoughts. And it's not that I don't even think they didn't want to be recorded, because I recorded a couple people. I was in front of City Hall in Oakland, in front of Laney College. And no one had an opinion about any of this, about Trump, about the 20 candidates who are, you know, I'm sure 17 of them we're never going to hear about after 2020. No one had an opinion. There's this apathy that's spread across the, I guess I could say millennials, but it really seems like people are just accepting this shit. And they complain about it. You know, they don't have a podcast to complain about it. But I think I'm speaking for a lot of people when I say that when it comes to the tech shit and, you know, as you walking down a street in a fucking civilization, look up and be a human being, okay? If you're going to go to dinner or a party or lunch with somebody, don't whip out the phone. 9 times out of 10, they invited you there to enjoy your company, to look in your eyes, to enjoy these things called oxygen and food and to discuss important stuff. 9 times out of 10, if you pull out your phone and you're like, you have to see this, no one has to see it. It's not that funny. It's not that well written. It's not that important. So try to curb this impulse of from your brain to your thumbs. Please, please. I went to a party, got invited to something 6 years ago in a beautiful backyard in Berkeley. Picture perfect day, a gorgeous backyard that looks like it could have been in Better Homes and Gardens. I get there, I greet the hosts. They're like, everyone's in back. There's drinks and food back there. I go in back to a backyard where it is, I can't tell you, it was the summer. It must have been like 6 years ago. And everyone is looking at their phone. And I barely got anyone to look up. And there's no reason for that, okay? Any of you who are gonna argue with me, that's just the society we live in today, look up the stats. Still, less than half the world uses a computer. So I've won the tech debate every time. I've won the social media debate every time. If you're gonna come at me, come at me with some facts, okay? Most of what you're looking at isn't that fucking important. So think about that when you go to an event. Someone invites you to a restaurant, a party, a family function. They want you there, usually. You're going to find that all, when you go, you know, and you breathe your last breath, none of this shit's going to matter. You're not going to be reaching for your tablet unless you're a total, you know, plastic, didn't have a personality until 2007 loser. I think the tech industry gave a lot of people personality. I think it gave people the ability to think that they were creative when they didn't have any organic abilities. And I've always felt that. You know, social media is largely a quest for external validation, like we know. This whole thing about, oh, someone in fourth grade you want to talk to. No, I talk personally. I've been organically keeping in touch with everyone I've ever wanted to since I was 5. And sure, certain friends will say, hey, Carlos, you know, blankety blank, I'm on Facebook with them and they wanted to reach out to you. Can they have your number? And I've always given them the number. I have a 2-hour conversation. We reminisce and that's it. People who say that it's an addiction, social media and their phone, are the most honest. I've had friends say to me, I'm just addicted. It's like it is an impulse. It's a compulsion. I'm addicted to this stuff. That's the most honest thing I hear. Those saying that, you know, I don't know, that are just dividing their attention at important events and functions, like that party I was bringing up, that's what's got to stop. Okay, folks, in the end, human relations are the most important thing. The relationships you have with other human beings, okay? You could be Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, or I guess now Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, who's up there in the top five probably now. And if you don't have actual relationships with people, you have nothing in life. Okay, there's only so much pleasure you can buy. And I think people try to get some kind of intimacy from looking down at their phone. And if, you know, if they just can't sit there and look straight, they can't sit there and be in their own head. They have to look at something to keep entertained. So that's got to stop. So this, you can see this has kind of been more of a fireside chat tonight, old school. I'd rather talk to you like this than talk to guests who aren't going to give me much. But we are going to analyze a little portion of the meaningless debates that happened tonight that are largely for show. And this is what we found. Largely looking like Julian Castro, the former San Antonio mayor, who they say had been operating below the radar, below the public consciousness, did a good job. I guess he battered O'Rourke really badly on immigration. And Beto O'Rourke is one of those people, when I saw him, I'm like, I don't believe you. You're just a poster boy who, you know, is kind of the flavor of the month right now. I never bought him, but it looks like they're saying that Elizabeth Warren got more questions than anyone else, and she didn't exactly answer all of them. When they were asking the candidates whether they supported abolishing private insurance, only Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, joined her. Cory Booker, who was supposedly the rising star of the Democratic Party, it says that Castro was going to basically come out ahead in this. I guess he did better than anybody. I just didn't have the, you know, I was doing this show. I didn't have the time to watch it. But it looks like he's just trying to get his name out there. And I guess he didn't have any memorable statements in this. I'm going to go on a limb and say that his public relationship with a Hollywood actress, even though it shouldn't, is going to be to his detriment at one point. But I guess everyone's saying that Beto O'Rourke was just badly out of his depth and didn't put forth this kind of sense of gravitas that you need to lead the country. Oh, man. And they're saying O'Rourke was the loser. Amy Klobuchar, I guess, didn't really. One person described it as all foam, no beer, so not much substance. And apparently the New York mayor, Bill de Blasio, who I was surprised he was running, you got to be kidding me, he kept interrupting people. So a shit show, essentially, that they're going to be talking about from this point, that Castro, by holding his own and by kind of putting forth well-thought-out opinions, he, I guess, won the debate. But you never know. Don't let that be a deciding factor for you, and don't think it's over. It's not over. Look at what happened with Trump and Hillary. I want to refer people to that SNL sketch with Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle regarding the, you know, people in a bubble, people who are in a Democratic bubble and who thought that for sure Hillary was going to win because everyone, quote, that they knew voted for Hillary, end quote. You never know what's going to happen, folks. We just need to thin the herd right now. And I guess that's kind of what we're doing with these debates. Not much from what I'm, all the analysis, not many fireworks, not much to look at.
If the control room could turn off the mics.
Y'all are trying to be the news.
Yeah, if the control room could turn off the mics of our previous moderators, we will.
I think it's the prior moderators.
You know, we prepared for everything.
Guess what, guys?
We did not prepare for it.
So the most interesting part of the debates seemed to be the technical difficulties. I guess there was a sound issue. But honestly, I watched a good portion of it. I watched the highlights, and it was a lot of nothing. So, you know, but it's a good, it is a representation of half of the people who are running on the Democratic ticket. Jesus, 20 people? Are you kidding me? Wow. But yeah, that was more interesting than pretty much most of what else was featured on there. A whole lot of nothing. But we have a year and a half left to go, so this is just the beginning. This is just what's happened so far. So strap on, folks. And thank you guys so much for joining me again, episode 4 of The Carlo Show. want to give a special appreciation and thanks to Ted Atwood at Dolores Manor Studios. If you want to hear his music, go to theodoreatwood.bandcamp.com. Also, a special thanks to the folks at Blue Microphones, makers of the Yeti. Thank you so much. Also, Chad and Brian Geller at Ultimate Ears. Go to ultimateears.com, all part of logitech.com. And this show will be on Apple Podcasts and YouTube coming up soon. So look out for it. Go to jakeradiolive.com to listen to The Carlo Show. Episode 4, Gone and Away. If you want to send me a line to discuss any of this with me, if you actually want to make touch with a human being who will get back to you, write me at thecarloshowmail@gmail.com. Episode 4 of The Carlo Show. Thanks, guys. Be good.